This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
From Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries, this is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, your house smells. Don't get mad. Don't get mad. My house smells too. I'm not indicting you. I'm sure you keep a clean home, but just time means you're going to acquire smells, whether those are cooking smells that get in your paint, your carpet. Maybe they're animal smells. Maybe you're a smoker or someone else was. Just living creates smells. I didn't realize that my home had a smell to it until I got my first Eden Pure Thunderstorm, the greatest air purifier I've ever owned in my life. This thing, I had it plugged in for 2 hours. I came back in the room and my air smelled so clean. I now own 3 of them. I'm not making that up. This thing has absolutely changed me on top of what it's done for my allergies. Go get one. Get 2. Be like me and get 3. Go to EdenPureDeals.com. Make sure you use the promo code Jesse. That gets you $10 off and free shipping. EdenPureDeals.com, promo code Jesse.
Another shooting. More riots. I swear on my life, this is not a repeat show from before. Oslo, mostly peaceful. You're hearing that a lot. I'll explain why. And we'll have a little fun. All that's coming up right now on I'm Right. Maybe you've heard. There's more rioting. Bricks thrown. People angry about a police officer involved shooting. Cops had to shoot and kill a man. Probably racially motivated again, right? Well, I'm going to show you the video in a minute. I'll warn you again before I show it, in case you want to have the kiddos look away briefly. But it's tempting when you look at videos like this to say, yeah, what's the cop supposed to do, right? And that's valid. You can look at the video and say, what else is the cop supposed to do? The cop clearly did the right thing. I'm not pointing fingers at the cop. But that's not the problem. You see, if you and I watch this video and we say something like, well, what else is the cop supposed to do? These protesters don't even know what they're rioting about. You're right. I'm right. But that's not addressing the real problem. The real problem is we've completely lost control of the narrative. It doesn't matter that this shoot I'm about to show you was 100% justified. The cop was 100% in the right. It doesn't matter anymore. Now, no matter what happens, when an officer is forced to discharge his weapon, if the man he shoots is a person of color, there's going to be a riot. Circumstances don't matter. Facts don't matter. And that's why you and I have found this past few months to be so incredibly frustrating. We stand up and we scream about facts all the time. How many times have you heard me come on here and say facts? Give me facts. I don't care about your feelings. Give me facts. We say that all the time. But when we're dealing with people who don't deal in facts and don't care about facts, we've encountered something that maybe you and I, maybe we need to take a step back and figure out, we don't know how to overcome this quite yet. Maybe that's where we're at. I mean, here's the shooting I'm talking about. Don't worry, it's not graphic. However, I understand you watch with your kids. Many of you do. It's very brief. If you want to have them look away for a moment, here's what happened. Knife-wielding man charges the police. Cops do what they do.
Where'd they go? Get back.
Hard to see there. Here, throw up that still picture in case you couldn't see it quickly. Yeah, that large object is the knife the man's running at police officers with. They had no choice. Everybody knows they had no choice. That's not news breaking. But how do we stop this? Are you and I just supposed to accept that there's going to be a violent riot every time a police officer discharges a firearm now? Because let me tell you how that ends. That ends with American cities being like something you'd see out of an Escape from LA or Escape from New York movie. That's how that ends. People are already fleeing these cities because of these riots. If it gets to be 6 months of this, a year of this, because there's always going to be a violent confrontation between police and criminals. That's the nature of police work. You wade through the muck all day long, you're going to get dirty at some point. So if there's always going to be a riot, we're going to have American cities becoming wastelands. And you may not be a city person. That's fine. I love the city. I love the country. I love it all. I grew up in Montana and I love New York City. I like everything. But maybe you're not a big city person. That's fine. They still matter, don't they? They matter to America. A big city, it's cool. It makes the country look good on the world stage. It's a good thing to have clean, vibrant big cities. Tourists around the world, when they think about going to New York City now, you know what they're saying? They're saying, is it safe? I don't know, is it safe? That's not the conversation you want them having. You want them having the conversation of, man, I can't wait to see the Statue of Liberty. It's true. I mean, look, this was the response to that completely justified police shooting.
Get out.
Get it again. I still want to get hit.
It's hard to see. I don't know what else to say. It's hard to see because now it's a trick. You've seen all this before. I could be playing you video from 2 months ago and it would look the same as it does now. And I'm tired of it. And I'm tired of what it's meant. Let's be honest, on top of the property damage, which very much matters, we're talking about livelihoods. This has cost lives, not just civilian lives either. This is costing police officer lives. It's putting them in danger. This was already a dangerous profession. One of those professions where you kiss your wife and kids goodbye every night and you know it might be the last time. And now we, because of this false narrative of cops hunting down black men, now we have made it worse for them? Here's Chicago's police superintendent.
We're risking everything. 65 Chicago cops have been shot at or shot this year. 10 have been actually shot of that number. 10 officers. The 65 number, the 65 officers shot at or shot, there's not a comparable year. That's five times any previous year that anyone can recall in this city, a number of officers.
65 shots taken at police officers? Where does this end? When does this end? And I'm not going to go back on it because you've heard me say it 1,000 times. Where were you in the beginning when that anti-cop flame was just starting to build? Did you do the easy thing and light that fire too? Or did you say, whoa, let's not go too far here. Maybe a bad arrest, maybe a bad killing there. Let's not go too far and start demonizing the people who protect us every day. Now, credit to Chicago's police superintendent for standing up and speaking the truth. And credit to the LA County Sheriff, who's had just about enough of America's athletes and superstars taking the wrong side on this issue.
And I want to make a challenge. This challenge is to LeBron James. I want you to match that and that double that reward, because I know you care about law enforcement. You expressed a very, very interesting statement about your perspective on race relations and on officer-involved shootings and the impact that it has on the African-American community. I appreciate that. But likewise, we need to appreciate that respect for life goes across professions, across races, creeds, and I'd like to see LeBron James step up to the plate and double that.
Why don't we just be honest? Respect for life does not go across the board. As I've told you, when everyone else was whimpering in front of them, and yes, I love Black Lives Matter, what did I tell you they were? A violent, racist, domestic terrorist organization. And they don't value life equally. They don't. You don't have to take my word for it. You've seen the chants. You've heard the things they've said behind the microphone. I mean, all that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. Now, you need to go to grillblazer.com and get yourself a grill gun. This thing is so cool. Hooks up to the fuel canister. You're talking about lighting campfires, fireplaces. You're talking about the easiest cleaning of your grill you've ever done in your life. And I can't emphasize that point enough, because my grill, what I used to do when I'm done with it, I just crank the burners all up and get it really hot and then kind of scrape it off. But what you don't really get in that is all the other splatter parts. Guess what makes that real easy right now? The grill gun I got from Grill Blazer. Go to grillblazer.com right now and buy yourself one. And while you're there, save some money. Use the promo code Jesse. Save yourself a pile of cash. Grillblazer.com, promo code Jesse. We'll be back. I don't like to make a lot out of a little. I don't like to overanalyze things, even though it's my job to come here and wow you with my brilliance every single night. And you know, I always succeed at that. However, sometimes I see something and I go, ah, it's not as big a deal as people were making it out to be. And sometimes I see something and think, it's pretty revealing. I think there might actually be something there. I saw this and it was one of those revealing moments.
Need to make sure you have a president in the White House who actually sees you, who understands your needs, who understands the dignity of your work, and who has your back. A Harris administration together with Joe Biden as the president of the United States, the Biden-Harris administration will provide access to $100 billion in low-interest loans and investments for minority business owners. We will provide $15,000.
Harris administration? I just wanted to make sure I heard that right. This is going to get uncomfortable now. because we have a couple things have built up, and now if there's another slip like that, another little mask slip, we may end up having some internal problems. And what are those couple little things? Well, one, we have Kamala Harris herself. Kamala Harris, by all accounts, in my opinion, should have been a star in that Democratic primary. I mean, you look at her, one of those people you look at on paper, obviously I disagree with everything she says, she's insane, but you look at her on paper and you think, that might fly, right? I don't care what you say, she's kind of hot, especially for a senator in her 50s, speaks really well, former DA, good resume, what's not to like? But there was always something missing there. There's something that does not connect Kamala or Kamala, I don't know, who cares? There's something that missing. People don't like something about her, and it's ambition. She drips it. It's all over. Every time she talks, everything she does, none of it looks genuine. It all looks so forced that it looks like somebody who will smile to your face and then slip a knife between your shoulder blades if it means her getting ahead. So she has that stigma about her. And you have the second thing, the big thing. The thing everyone's kind of dancing around right now? What if Joe Biden wins? How long does Joe Biden stay president of the United States? Obviously not wishing any ill will on the man or ill health or anything like that. I'd never do that. Let's keep in mind, though, I know, and I know you probably do too, older folks who have gone through what Joe Biden is clearly going through. The ones who did the best were given care in rest. In that condition, you need care and you need rest. You just have to have it. Joe Biden, in that condition, is going to take the most stressful job in the United States of America, a job that ages you when you're not even old. How long can he do that? Not very. People look at this presidential ticket, and you've already heard the whispers. I know you've heard them. Oh, Kamala Harris is going to be president. And it looks like little word slips like that make it look like Kamala Harris knows it. And you bet she knows it. And you don't want to talk about it because it gets uncomfortable, right? But you know, in a private, honest moment, she'd never have been in a private, honest moment. She's had that talk with somebody. You know, we might be president sooner than you think. Gonna get uncomfortable if that happens again. All right. I'm not obviously a big fan of The View. Someone sent me this clip, though, and I did find it interesting.
My understanding is that according to a new Fox News poll, more voters classify BLM unrest as riots rather than protests. And that is scary because that's feeding into this narrative that the Trump campaign has been putting out there. And if you really look at the facts, 93% of protests are nonviolent. And in fact, when Trump has put in force, has put in federal enforcement, out of those 93%, the violence ratchets up.
I don't care about The View. It's not really what she said that matters. I know a bunch of women watch that when it's in the house on the day. It's fine, whatever. I don't care about it. What I do care about is this, that 93% peaceful. Mostly peaceful. You've seen that headline 1,000 times. Major news sources, opinion shows like The View, and major news sources are mostly peaceful. Mostly peaceful protests end in arson. The protest was mostly peaceful, ends in murder. Someone ends up dead, but the protest was mostly peaceful. I want you to understand something about the left. This stuff is not accidental. When they find language they like and they repeat it, over and over and over and over again, and this person repeats it, then that person starts repeating it, and then they start repeating it. What they're doing is ingraining things in your head. No, I'm not talking about, you know, brain, what do you call that? Brainwashing. They're not brainwashing you. There you go, no big deal. I went to community college. But they do know language is important. It is. And this mostly peaceful bunch of crap, you can laugh it off all you want, it will be somewhat effective. And I mean, how absurd is that, by the way? 93%. if 100 people drive by my house every night and every night 7 of them throw Molotov cocktails at it, is that a mostly peaceful drive-by? Am I going to look at that and think, well, man, the real story is the ones who didn't. That's what the real story is. Of course, that's absurd. Black Lives Matter is a violent, racist, domestic terrorist organization that has been killing and hurting people across the United States of America for years. This isn't even something that just popped up. They've been killing people in the United States of America for years. They are the most powerful, violent, race-hate group in the country. You can do this 93% thing all you want. It's true. It's true. But they're going to do the best they can to run cover for them. They're going to do the best they can to make sure you think, well, I mean, one or two bad apples. Keep in mind, the entire Trump support base has been defined by one idiot in Charlottesville, but you get violent Black Lives Matter people in every city in the United States of America, and, well, mostly good kids. A couple guys screwed up once or twice. It's no big deal. They do that on purpose. Do not let them. Now, I know you're going to find this shocking. I'm about to blow you away, but I read. Now, granted, it's nothing important. It's not like I'm sitting down reading nerd math books or something like that. I read spy thrillers. And for years, I have told everybody who will listen, the Mitch Rapp series, created by Vince Flynn, is the best continuing fictional book series in the world. If you want to read books about a bunch of terrorists dying at the hands of an American assassin, it's this series. The Mitch Rapp series, buy it. By all of them, and most definitely by the newer ones by Kyle Mills. Vince Flynn, God rest his soul, passed away. Kyle Mills took these things over, and I swear they're as good or better than they were before, and he has a brand new one out. Got my hands on it early, not to brag. It's called Total Power. It's awesome. I read the whole thing in one night. One night, the wife wakes up. I'm sitting there at midnight because I can't put it down. Total Power. Go buy it. You won't be disappointed. We'll be back. Joining me now is Pastor Daryl Scott. He's the author of Nothing to Lose, Unlikely Allies, and the Struggle for a Better Black America. Pastor, what you got? Before we get to anything else, we got a big peace deal signed today with Trump. And I dare I say it, we might actually get a positive headline for President Trump out of this. Maybe not, but possibly.
Well, the left is going to try their best to spin it some other kind of way, but this is some undeniable positive activity by the Trump administration. So you're right. They're going to try to minimize it the best they can, but hey, it is what it is.
It is what it is. All right, we have more ugliness out there when it comes to cops and protests. We had this guy in Tennessee, Munoz, I believe his name is. I may have that wrong. Got shot running at a cop with a knife. They're already protesting things. It's just so ugly right now. And I know most Americans just want it to stop. They just want everything to calm down and stop. How much of this is organized and how much of this is organic?
Most of it is organized. Very little of it is organic. Simply because, you know, you have guys, the police aren't just walking up accosting innocent citizens that happen to be walking down the street minding their own business. The majority of the people that they're interacting with are people that are involved in the commission of a crime and refuse to willfully or lawfully surrender upon the orders of the police. And so these things, they escalate to the point that, you know, if I'm a police officer, I have to be honest. If a guy came running at me with a knife, I'd probably pop him too. So it is what it is. And they're trying to use these incidents to decriminalize this behavior and to actually make martyrs out of these perpetrators and demonize and vilify the police. And the left, because they have made it an us against them relationship or scenario with the police, and I'm talking about the left all the way up to Congress and left-wing senators, they made the police the enemy. So when the man on the street perceives the police as the enemy rather than as an enforcer of the law, they have no problem going after the police and being disrespectful towards them and even trying to harm them. And it's part of the mindset that the left has put in the minds of these people on the street. It's sad. It's sad. It's very sad.
Pastor, I mean, we live in a society now where everybody and their brother has a Twitter account and a Facebook account. And you can send out whatever you want at any point. I don't believe, but I'm happy to be corrected. I don't believe anybody of any skin color. I do not believe the majority of those people dislike police officers. I just don't believe that. I believe the angry miscreants get the loudest microphones. They get the most articles printed. I just do not believe there's this overwhelming animosity in America towards police. But am I naive? Is there some real axe to grind with the cops?
No, it's not. You're absolutely right. The majority of the people that are protesting have had no negative interaction with the police. And so they're victims, actually. They're being led. They're being manipulated, and they're being used to further someone else's sinister agenda, somebody else's nefarious intent. But no, the police aren't the enemy of the community. The police are working to preserve and help keep our community safe. The minute we have some issues in the community, we're calling the police. And so, you know, they're also trying to make as if the black community hates the police when nothing can be further than the truth. The black community wants law and order in our communities as much as any other community wants law and order in their communities. The only element of society that has a problem with the police is the criminal element. When I was in the criminal element, I had a problem with the police. And so if you're not a criminal, if you're not committing crimes, you should have no problem with the police at all.
Pastor, I have to be honest. I try to act like I don't care sometimes about sports because they make me so angry now. But I actually do care about football. I'm a football freak. I live and die for it. College football, NFL. I'll be a lazy slug on Sunday after church, Pastor. I'll be a lazy slug on Sunday, just watch football all day long. And now I won't watch a play, man. I just want to watch football. And I actually think this matters to America. I think it divides us further because things like sports, I don't know if you're a sports fan, but things like sports are supposed to bring us together. You know, nothing matters when you're out there except for your team. We're good and they suck. That's what it's supposed to be. But we've lost that. And I think it hurts the country.
You're absolutely right. And sports has been and should be the ultimate unifier with people. I mean, you can see people of all ethnicities in the stands together, rooting for the same team, teammates rooting for one another, hugging, embracing, interacting with each other, and nobody sees color. But now these players are trying to make political statements, and they're speaking out of ignorance. Now, when I say ignorance, I'm not saying stupidity, even though some of them are stupid. When I'm saying ignorance in the case of being uninformed, I talked to the great Jim Brown. And Jim and I are very good friends. And I asked Jim, I said, why do the athletes today in their public discourse, when they're going in front of the media or whatever, they're not as informed, they're not as capable of discussing these elements as the athletes in times past? And Jim said something I thought was very remarkable. He said, you have to understand, the professional athletes of my time were all college graduates. And, you know, because there was a stipulation, you had to be a college graduate in order to play professional sports. Nowadays, you got kids coming out of high school playing professional sports that really don't even have more than a seventh or eighth grade education level, if that much. They've been calling them pampered all the way through school. And once they knew they were turning pro, they didn't have any care about academics at all. And now here they are with a platform where they have to address the American public, and their lack of intelligence, their lack of a world view, their lack of knowledge and understanding concerning civics is woefully lacking. And you hear it when they open up their mouth. You hear it when LeBron James pops off and acts like police officers are hunting black people up and down the street. And then when you see a officer get killed by a random black person, he has no comment about that. He needs to just, like Laura Ingraham said, shut up and dribble, man.
Yeah. You know, that is something that's always bothered me about somebody like him, somebody like Oprah, somebody who's achieved the highest level of success any human being can achieve. I mean, they've achieved higher levels than I'll ever get to by a mile, than 99.9% of other people have. And not only that, LeBron had a rough upbringing, overcame some rough stuff to do it. That should be an inspirational story, should it not? I mean, I don't understand how you get to that point of that kind of achievement and look around and say, this country sucks. I think it's really cool what he did, and that's what I'd like to hear.
And you know what else, though? One thing that LeBron can't deny is the positive influence, impact, and interaction he's had with white people in his life that helped him get to where he is. It reminds me of the 60s when Muhammad Ali, when he was with the black Muslims and he was anti-white, but Angelo Dundee was his trainer. And Angelo Dundee brought out the best in Muhammad Ali. And if it wasn't for Angelo Dundee, maybe Ali would not have achieved the measure of success that he had. So it's somewhat hypocritical that you have, you know, this interracial aspect to your life, to your success, to your journey, to your story. But then when you get in public and open up your mouth, you have this anti-racial rhetoric coming out of your mouth. It's fake. That's what it is. It's hypocritical and fake.
Why is Joe Biden doing this, Pastor? I honestly, he gave another speech today, man. And look, I'm genuinely not trying to be mean. I'm not going to be mean, especially in front of a man of God. But the man is struggling. Whether it's age, whatever it is, he's struggling. He's struggling mightily. That's retirement time, isn't it? I mean, look, when I even start to flirt with that, I'm going to go and sit in my house. And if you need me, I'll be reading a book or watching some TV. He's running for the most stressful job in the world. I don't understand why. Why not just go rest?
You're absolutely right. I mean, look, I'm looking at myself at my age, and I can see a difference between me and 20 years ago. I'm slipping sometimes. My memory isn't what it used to be. And if that's the case with me, look at Joe. Now, Joe, you need to go sit down, Joe. You need to sit down and tell him you're not doing this anymore, Joe, because America's starting to feel sorry for you. Even your enemies and your opponents and your adversaries are starting to feel sorry for you. The right is feeling sorry for you because, Joe, it's senior citizen abuse, man. They're forcing you to do something that you really aren't up and capable and able to do. So you need to stop it, Joe, and go sit down because it's becoming glaringly obvious that you don't have the mental capacity to handle the rigors of this job. You just don't have it. Joe's standing in a cornfield. Who the heck does a speech in a cornfield? Joe did a speech in the cornfield. Joe!
Pastor Daryl Scott, thank you, sir.
Thanks for having me, man. I appreciate you. Listen, go to Amazon.com and order my book, Nothing to Lose, Unlike the Allies in the Struggle for a Better Black America. I'm shamelessly pandering. I don't care. I'm putting my pride on the side. I want to make the New York Times bestseller list. Buy the book. If you don't like it,
you heard
mail
him.
It back to me, and I'll give you back your postage stamp money. I'm not giving you the price of the book back, though.
You heard him. Go to Amazon. Get the man's book for all he's done. Appreciate you.
Thanks, man. God bless you.
It's a dangerous world out there. I don't know that I have to twist your arm right now to convince you why you would need a Vault Pro safe. I mean, it's a veteran-owned company, lifetime warranties, and probably most importantly, made in the USA. And when I say, you know, gun safes, you're probably thinking, oh, yeah, look at it out there. It's crazy. But it's more than just gun safes, and it doesn't have to be just an obligation. They have vault doors. They have walk-in vaults. They have storm shelters. Just go to vaultprousa.com and see the things they have. You might want to have your wallet ready like I did because you're going to end up buying something. Oh, good news on that front. They still have Labor Day sale items. Really, really good ones. I checked right before the show. They have great Labor Day sales as we speak. Go to vaultprousa.com right now. Don't forget, use the code Jesse. You're going to save yourself a pile of money. Vault Pro USA, use the code Jesse. We'll be back. Joining me now, national security analyst and just the man to talk to today, Dave Reboy. Dave, UAE, Israel, they're normalizing relations. First of all, what were their relations versus what are they now?
So we should add Bahrain in there too, because we've got a kind of trifecta today for the Abraham Accords. But yeah, I mean, it's a little bit unusual of a peace treaty in the sense that there was no state of war declared between these countries. So it's not exactly a peace treaty in the sense that we would normally think about it, like after a war, after a conflict. But really, there was a conflict and there was a long war diplomatically for the last several decades, really since the establishment of the State of Israel in 1948. And then And then again through the 70s, 80s, and 90s, and really 2000s, when a lot of these Arab countries just refused to recognize Israel. The big thing happened in 1967 after the Six-Day War, when the Arabs came together and they said, you know, absolutely, we will not recognize that Israel exists, which is why you have a lot of these folks calling it the Zionist entity for many years. So what we're seeing now is we're seeing all of that starting to break down. And this is a really good thing. It's a positive development. And it's a recognition, I think, that a lot of these countries look at Israel and they say, you know, you guys are the most successful country in the region. It's utterly stupid of us to continue this nonsense.
First, before we continue to a bunch of other stuff about what you just said, why is Israel the most successful country in the region? At least, obviously, I know that all the history before that, but they're one of the newest, if not the newest. Why have they reached such a level of success so fast and surpassed their neighbors?
Well, I mean, it's a complicated question. A lot of it has to do with culture. And society and religion and the different waves of immigration that have come in from Israel, really from all over the world, because you have Jews from all over the world coming to this small place that is free and gives people a lot of opportunities. I mean, in the same way that you know, the United States kind of catapulted forward around the time of the Industrial Revolution and really became a world power. That's basically what you've seen in Israel. It's just this has happened in a technological way more than anything. I mean, the other thing too is you have to give credit to Bibi Netanyahu, who was the former finance minister. And look, Israel was a socialist country for decades and decades. And it was really Netanyahu that tried to break down big government in Israel and try to free up the economy and to make a lot of these things possible. And they have a thriving economy, but it's not really only the economy. You know, they have a population that is growing. They have people having kids and larger families. And there's a sense in Israel that maybe unlike in the United States, that the country itself is worth preserving and worth fighting for. And that gives them a lot of confidence. And look, I mean, I think you're seeing that in the Gulf states as well, especially in places like Saudi Arabia and in places like the Emirates, where there is a growing nationalism and there is a sense that, like, yeah, you know, we love our country. And without that crucial ingredient, I think everything is lost. So what you're seeing here is you're seeing several, I mean, if we say that the two big ones are the Emirates and Israel. So we have two very confident, strong powers who are moving into the future and are really taking this opportunity to advance both of their interests. And it's not charity. I mean, that's why I think this is a peace that is sustainable, because it's not charity. It's not United Nations happy talk, peace BS. It's two countries that really want to get down to business and to recreate life in the Middle East. And I think it couldn't be better.
What does normalize relations mean? First of all, what was the relationship between UAE and Israel, or UAE and Bahrain? Were they not trading with each other? Were they not talking to each other? Were they shooting missiles at each other? Did people not visit? I don't understand what's changing. What's different tomorrow versus a year ago?
So aside from those missiles, all of those things were true. So for example, an Israeli couldn't fly into Abu Dhabi or Dubai legally, and really vice versa. If you would go, and if you would, I mean, in Israel for decades, if you would go to visit, they would give you an option of stamping your passport, as entering Israel or not. They understood that they would say, you know what, it's okay if you don't want it stamped, because if you have an Israel stamp, they won't let you into a lot of Arab countries in the Middle East, even as a visitor, even as an American or from another country. So now this is beginning to break down. For the first time ever, Saudi Arabia allowed Israeli planes to fly over its territory in order to get to the Emirates. So, I mean, a lot of this is a very big deal. You would think that this kind of stuff doesn't really happen anymore, but thankfully, it's starting to look like a relic of past time.
Okay, well, I'm not under the impression that Israel woke up yesterday morning and all of a sudden they were no longer wary of countries like the UAE. And I'm not under the mistaken impression that the UAE woke up and now they're very, very pro-Jew. Or are they? What changed?
So I think they are right now, because what this is a public, it's a public recognition of cooperation that had been ongoing for quite a while. So I think what happened was over the course of the last several years. I mean, we have to thank Barack Obama in many ways for this, because his policies were so horrible and so tilted towards Iran and away from America's traditional allies in the region, that the traditional allies in the region got together and they said, hey, if America is against us, we have to band together. And I think the people, I think the Arabs in the region understand that their biggest threat, they're not afraid of Israeli nuclear weapons. They're afraid of Iranian nuclear weapons. They're afraid of what Iran is going to do in the region and the mischief that it can make. They're also afraid now of Turkey and Erdogan, and they're afraid of the Muslim Brotherhood, which is basically funded out of both Turkey and Qatar. So it's created this this alliance of anti-Islamist, anti-Iran states in the region who are all U.S. allies, and this is really kind of just making the public recognizing in public what has been going on for a while. And to give the Emirates credit, and they really deserve the credit, they have been amazing over the last several years in doing interfaith projects, especially with Jews, especially with Israel. And they have spent a lot of money and invested a lot of political capital into peacemaking between Christians, Jews, and Muslims. So they have to be commended.
This sounds to me like Iran really, really is becoming surrounded in the area. Not only are they economically faltering, in part because of our sanctions, it sounds like they're running out of friends quickly. Did I just oversimplify that?
I don't know if they're running out of friends. I mean, they still have their friends in China. They still have their friends in Russia. They still have their friends in Syria and in Turkey. But what's happening now is the anti-Iran coalition is definitely getting stronger. And as I say all the time, all of us who want a lighter U.S. footprint in the Middle East, all of us who want to pull back and say, you know what, you know, you guys can handle this, the way we keep our interests intact is by empowering our allies and our friends to be strong and to be assertive against their enemies and against common enemies. So I think today is a great day in terms of sort of U.S. pullback from the region, because we can trust that not only will these guys maintain some of our strategic interests, but they're able to do so.
Dave Reboy, ladies and gentlemen, appreciate you, brother.
Thank you.
I don't do the world is ending stuff, and I'm not going to do it with you now. The world's not ending. I mean, at least I don't think tomorrow, but the stock market bubble might burst tomorrow. That's the problem with these market corrections, as they put it. You don't know. You oftentimes don't get a heads up at all. If you actually study the stock market crash, the big one that led to the Great Depression, it was not there, and then it was there all of a sudden. And the fundamentals of something like that are all laid out for us. Massive deficit spending. The debt is mind-numbing. Business closures at a rapid rate, which is undermining the tax revenue of the government. Everything is there to show you you're in a bubble. You don't have to freak out. You don't have to pull all your money out of the bank. Just go buy a gold IRA with Gold Alliance so you're backstopped against things like this. Diversify. Gold Alliance has an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. Just get a gold IRA. Go to goldalliance.com/Jesse. That's goldalliance.com/Jesse. We'll be back. How about you take a moment and feel good about America and the awesome things America can do and produce? You know, wildfires are obviously a big problem right now. You see what's happening in Oregon and California and everywhere and all the arsonists, and it's crazy, right? And people are losing their lives and homes. And how are we attacking it? Well, here's one of the things America can do. That's freaking awesome. I love this country. Remember something. You've heard me yell a lot about the economy, especially during coronavirus, and everyone was worried and wearing a mask and whatnot. That's what buys planes like that. The economy. Let's get it rolling again. I'll see you tomorrow. You don't have to dip forever. You know that, right? You don't have to smoke forever. And the reason I say it like that is I have been that guy. I've been that guy. I dipped for so long. And what would happen is I would decide I'm going to quit. Oh, that's bad for me. I'm going to quit. I'm a man. I don't need any help. I'm just going to quit cold turkey. And I would fail time and time and time again. I tried things like the patch. That didn't work. Gum, sunflower seeds. I tried it all. It's just a matter of finding the right thing to help you quit. That's Jake's Mint Chew. Go, put in your dip. Just make sure it's Jake's Mint Chew. It's tobacco-free. It's nicotine-free. It's even sugar-free. And I highly recommend, just a personal choice, I highly recommend their CBD pouches because it really helps take that extra edge off. Get a jakesmintchew.com. That's jakesmintchew.com. Make sure you use the promo code Jesse at checkout. When you do that, you get 10% off.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
What I told people, I was making a podcast about Benghazi. 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
From Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries, this is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.